Welcome to episode 2 of our Menopause Deep Dive on Unfiltered, Confident and Real, the new podcast series from Cyrus Skin. Now, joining me today is the brilliant Dr. Sabika Kareem. Now, she's the founder of Skin Medical in Northwood, London, and a true expert in understanding skin at every level. Welcome to our podcast, Dr. Sabika. Tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Thank you for having me, Syra. Well, I'm a qualified GP. I've been an aesthetic practitioner for over 20 years now. I feel humbled that I actually won a Lifetime Career Achievement Award. But for me, it's not about the awards. It's not even necessarily about treatments, because that's not what I feel like I provide. It's about giving people confidence, self-belief, and that kind of bounce in your step. And the other thing is, I am also a self-professed shopaholic.
I know you very well as well, so I can contest to that as well. Dr. Sabika, we are talking menopause, and one of the biggest things that I saw happen to me was the change in my skin. Things that I was used to before just were not, you know, working for me. And this is one of the biggest questions that I get from women, from my community, from my followers. What can I do about my skin? And I just want to really understand and get rid of all the noise and all the fluff surrounding this subject. Let's talk about the layers of the skin. Let's talk about, you know, a good skincare routine. And from your experience and your knowledge, what actually happens to the skin as we age, perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause?
Sounds great to me. So I'll dive straight in. As we know, the skin is our biggest organ, and actually it's got lots of functions other than just making us look the way we do. Mm-hmm. Its job is to keep, you know, the bad things out, including not just germs, dirt, UV radiation. It helps regulate temperature. It even helps with some of our hormonal regulation, so things like vitamin D synthesis. And that's kind of its main function. It's got two main layers that we know, the epidermis and the dermis. But actually another important layer is the hypodermis, so that the fatty tissue just below the skin. So the epidermis is that top layer of skin that's really, really thin, and that renews every sort of 28 days or so. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the thicker dermis, which has the collagen and the elastin in it, and that provides structure and support. And then below that, you've got the fatty tissues, again, that are there for cushioning, help with heat regulation, and also provide support. Now, as we age, lots of different things happen. And it's said that up until 25, we're growing up. And after 25, we're actually growing older. And that's when aging actually starts. But it is more subtle when you're younger. As we age, we're losing volume in our deep tissues. Mm-hmm. So we lose bony mass about 1% a year, and deep fat pad mass 1% a year. So that's the structure that's, you know, holding everything up. And then when we get to the superficial layer, so the skin, we're losing collagen and elastin and hyaluronic acid. And it's not that we're just losing it. These are proteins. Collagen is a protein, elastin is a protein, and hyaluronic acid, which I'm now going to call HA, mm-hmm. is a protein. And they all have different functions that we'll talk about. But it's not that you have a certain amount that you're born with and you keep it. We make it and we break it down all of the time. And as we age, what happens is that the cells that produce the collagen and elastin, they get a little bit slower and they slow down. So making it becomes a little bit less efficient. But collagen breakdown speeds up, unfortunately. So things like pollution, UV radiation, poor diet, smoking, all of those things will accelerate it. But just the natural process of aging and inflammation will slow that down. And also the cells that make the collagen elastin like to have tension on them. So the less tension they have, the saggier your skin becomes, the less well-behaved they are, and the less collagen and elastin they make. So it's not that we're just losing it. Mm-hmm. It's just that we're breaking it down more quickly than we can actually produce it.
Right. So with that in mind then, what happens to our face when this aging process, I guess, is happening? So when we don't have the hyaluronic acid, the elastin, the collagen, what happens to our faces?
So in the skin, what happens is when you lose the collagen, so the collagen is kind of your support protein, and that's one of the most abundant proteins in the dermis. So there's lots of it, and that gives you your skin tension or tautness. So your skin begins to look a little bit saggy, mm-hmm. and it's also thinner. When we lose the elastin, you lose the elasticity, so that buoyancy you have. And when you lose the hyaluronic acid, your skin looks dry, because hyaluronic acid's function is to hold moisture in our skin. And these three proteins are really, really important for making our skin look healthy.
Okay, so I guess that's why when you get to sort of perimenopause age, you know, you kind of look in the mirror and you go, goodness me, what's happening to me? You know, and I think that's where all of a sudden women really start sort of investing in skincare, because it's that kind of point where it kind of comes to a head, and it's very, very visible. A couple of questions here. So let's talk about skincare. I'm in the skincare industry. My whole ethos is just about making sure that the barrier is supported. So you've got your cleansing without stripping. You've got your hydration, superficial hyaluronic acid. You've got peptides there. You've also got the lipid barrier, the moisturization, and you've got treatment like retinoils. Now, for me, I always say, look, these are superficial, and this is your everyday maintenance for the largest organ of your body. I don't call it a beauty product. I call it a health product. So just tell us a little bit more about the role skincare plays in looking after your skin. And I guess, do you start earlier, or can you just pick it up at perimenopause and it goes through menopause?
You've entirely preempted me. So you've said everything I was going to say about my beliefs in skincare. And it's all about skin barrier. Your skin has a function. It's not just about the way it looks. It is about the way it behaves. And having healthy skin is really important. We don't want things that are too abrasive. And having a healthy skin barrier is really the most important thing. But the one thing you missed out, Syra, is that prevention's better than cure. Mm-hmm. So SPF 30 or 50 is absolutely a must. Okay, that has to happen. And we start our children off with SPF when they're babies, and we must make sure they carry it through their teens and in their early 20s and further forward. And then skincare doesn't just start when you see the first signs of aging. Mm. Remember, we're aging from the age of 25. Mm-hmm. So skincare should go in really early. And the reason is that it is preventative. It helps to maintain the health of the skin. And you're right. Things that help the barrier. So vitamin A derivatives like retinoids, retinoils, they will help the skin cells to turn over more quickly, which means you've got that more youthful production. So your healing is better.
And just to go in there, it's as you get older, the cell turnover when you're younger is between 28 days and I can't remember what it 30 days. But as you get older, it's about 55 days. So that gentle exfoliation just helps the skin to do its job, because otherwise you're sitting there with dead skin cells and skin can look dull, but also can cause inflammation and breakouts.
Inflammation is the most aging thing that can happen to skin anyway. And when you think about it, you've got lots of sort of really old skin cells hanging around, your skin is going to look lackluster. But you're right, it's also going to have a less healthy function, and it's also going to heal less well. So if you get a scratch or a spot or something, and if it's inflamed, you will get conditions more like acne and rosacea, and even eczema if you're prone to that. That will be more of an issue. Mm-hmm. And that's why a healthy barrier is really, really important. But what I would say is to make sure that you are doing no stripping. So when you cleanse, don't strip the skin. And also, it's about replenishing as well. So use the vitamin A derivatives to speed up the skin cell turnover. But then we do need to replenish into the skin as well. And things like peptides and ceramides are good, and antioxidants and things that lower inflammation like niacinamide. All of those kind of products are really, really great for the skin. But if there's one thing to do, start early, use your SPF, and don't be too aggressive.
So what is the number one anti-aging product you can put on your skin?
SPF, without a shadow of a doubt. If we're not using a good SPF, we are not winning. Other than that, it is a vitamin A derivative called tretinoin, which is a prescriptive only product, but has to be used with caution and only suits certain individuals.
And I guess there's now lots of derivatives of the vitamin A. Mm-hmm. So because some people can tolerate it, some people can't, but you've got the bioactive ingredients and things like that, which might work slower, but can be tolerated by sensitive skins.
Absolutely.
So a skincare routine, really important. Start early and maintain it morning and night.
Absolutely. Okay. And it's okay if you forget it on a one-off, but it's not okay to fall off the wagon long term.
Okay. Now, let's talk about how deep any skincare can penetrate the skin. Because I feel in the industry, you know, women, you know, as we age, we're being sold miracles. It can get rid of your fine lines and wrinkles. It can lift sagging skin. There are clinical trials to show. I personally feel that is... I actually feel that's pulling wool over women's eyes at a very vulnerable stage, because from my understanding, any skincare, no matter how scientific, can only penetrate through a certain amount of layer in your skin. But if you really want to focus on those deep lines, you know, wrinkles, and there's nothing wrong with them, but some people just want to perhaps, you know, have that bit of extra confidence, or they just want to do something about it, you have to go deeper into the skin, and that can only be done through either lasers or injectables. Tell me about that.
You're absolutely right. Skincare will only get you so far, but you will need in-clinic treatments, and they're not all just lasers and injectables. There's so many things you can do. And first and foremost, you said, if your wrinkles bother you. Now, not everyone's going to want treatments, but for those people who do look in the mirror and feel like they look different or feel like they look invisible, because so many of my patients used to tell me they look, you know, you get to a certain age and you become invisible. And when I was in my 20s, I didn't understand it. But actually, growing older myself and having hit the menopause myself, I really can see the changes. You look in the mirror and it's not you looking back at yourself. And if it's something you're not comfortable with, my advice would be to go to a specialist to get the best advice possible. So I would go and see a doctor who can put a personalized treatment plan together for you. But if you came to see someone like me, the different options we would give you are in-clinic treatments that either replace lost volume or help you to stimulate collagen production, because that is what we need. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to break them down into two sections. So stimulating collagen production, we would use things like radio frequency microneedling, like the Secret RF, which you've had.
Yep.
And what I say for that one is that's your proactive aging treatment. It's not going to give you a huge amount of reversal, but it, because of the new collagen that's being produced, or the fact that we're producing more collagen, aging will happen more slowly in the skin. We've also got, if you've got fine lines and wrinkles, we've got the Ultra Clear Laser, mm-hmm. which is safe on all skin types. And that helps just to smooth the skin surface and again, stimulate collagen. We've got PRP in the clinic, which is when you draw blood out from your own blood out. We spin it down and take all the good, rich plasma with the platelets in it, and we can re-inject that. I mean, that's really great for hair mm-hmm. during the menopause as well and postmenopausally. And then, you know, we've got the injectable collagen stimulators. And my absolute favorite one is one called Julaine. That's Julaine. And it launches in October this year. I've been using it for 18 months. And that will give you that real deep collagen banking. It will give you tightening and lift. But what that actually does is reverse ages the skin. The science behind that's actually really awesome. And then we've got other treatments that help to replace lost volume. And like we said, if you're feeling like you're all sagged down and you've got nothing to hold the skin up, then we do need to replace that volume with injectable fillers. And the ones I use are made of hyaluronic acid. And then if you've got wrinkles from movement that are upsetting you, that's where a botulinum toxin or a Botox treatment comes in.
And I think it's really important to share this information to women, because we have to talk about it, because it's there. It's available for women, but we need to talk about it in a way where, you know, it's safety. Safety is paramount, because you are putting your face at the hands of somebody and they are using a surgical procedure. You know, when you... Is it a surgical procedure?
We would call it a minimally invasive procedure. Okay, but your skin is still being breached.
And exactly. Anything that punctures your skin, you need to know about the safety. So, and I'm going to talk about some of the treatments that I have. Even though I run a natural, organic skincare brand, which I'm really passionate about, that's my non-negotiable every day. It's your bread and butter. You've got to be doing it. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, I was 47. I hit the menopause. And I started to lose a bit of confidence in myself in terms of, like, I was on TV and I was really, you know, kind of honing in on what my skin was doing. So I've had little things like anti-wrinkle treatments. I've had polynucleotides to help with that natural collagen boosting, hyaluronic acid, elastin, had laser for my pigmentation, because that's something else we'll talk about in a minute. But, you know, these things are there to help, but you have to be safe. Can you just talk about the safety protocols around, if a woman wants to go and have a treatment, what she should be looking for? What's the safety guidelines?
So in the UK, there is no regulation of the aesthetics industry at all, which means anyone can do anything. Now, that is absolutely legal. So nobody is doing anything wrong. However, I would say that if you really want the best treatments, you need to find someone who is an expert, someone who is medically trained. So I'd ideally go to a doctor or a dentist or a prescribing nurse. And then also look at their experience. I've got 20 years of experience in the field. I teach, I train, I lecture, I write for Aesthetic Medicine magazine, so I like to share my knowledge. And it's really important to find the person who's credentialed. Look at their Google reviews, ask to speak to their previous patients, check out the GMC register. Are they registered? Do your research. Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing you can do, because it's okay when things go right, but if things go wrong, you really need to have someone who can pick that up straight away, deal with that, and see you through it. Mm-hmm. I mean, these procedures really help people to find confidence. It's not about the way you look. It really is about the way you feel, giving yourself that confidence back, especially at a time when your body's going through so much change. It's not just your skin. You know, some people don't sleep well, some people have brain fog, and there's a whole plethora of stuff that goes through it. You know, you've got dryness not in your just in your skin, but you know, there's dryness in other areas that gets affected, and it can have a knock-on impact on how you feel. So when you are choosing the person, it's really important to go to someone who has experience, who is a doctor, and who can look after you holistically, and to make sure that they're not just a one-trick pony. So if everyone only has one thing to offer, that's the thing you're going to end up with, right? Yeah. Whereas if you go to someone and they can offer you a whole range of different options and tailor it to what you want, to your budget, to your downtime, to what's acceptable for you. Are you in it just for non-invasive treatments? Would you like laser treatments? Would you want injectable treatments? It all has to be what you're happy to accept. And the nice thing is, with us, when we do injectable treatments, all of our treatments are actually natural when you think about it.
Because you're boosting and stimulating your own natural process. You're absolutely just having a helping hand.
Yes.
And that's what it is. And I think that's the other thing. There seems to be so much shame and guilt, and I'm hiding. I don't want to share with other women what I'm doing. You know, and that doesn't actually help other women, because you're looking at somebody that is aging completely different to you, and they're not sharing their secrets, that's really hard for the woman who's like, well, what are you doing? Because I'm eating well, I'm exercising, I'm using my skincare. Why aren't I getting those results? And I think that we just need to break that taboo subject down. There is no shame in having treatments done.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, it's like dyeing your hair. And I've said this to you before.
Exactly.
You know, in my mother's generation, nobody ever had grey hair. And I'm constantly on the phone to my friends going, I need a root tint. But it's about breaking those taboos and actually really being honest so that we can help each other. There is nothing wrong with self-care. You know, self-care is being mindful. Self-care is looking after yourself. Self-care can also be having treatments that help you age well.
Absolutely.
So that you have healthy skin, you have great confidence, and you look and feel better. Yeah.
Of course, there's obviously some women who will not be able to have that on a budget. So skincare becomes important. Talk us about skincare alongside treatments.
I'm going to rewind that just a tad. I'm so sorry. Think about the budget you have. And if it means foregoing your cup of coffee that you buy on your way to work, if you actually put that money aside, you will have some money for in-clinic treatments or to be able to get the help you need to be able to look the way you want. But you wanted to talk skincare.
Well, actually, the other thing is, sorry, just on that subject, what I'm astounded at is when you look at some of these creams that are being marketed, some of them are like 95, 100 plus. And actually, they are going to take a lot longer to get even, well, they won't even probably achieve something that you want, and that treatment could just be one treatment and it sorts your problem out.
I mean, I had a patient who came in who spends £300 and £400 on creams. They have done nothing for her skin, but she said she didn't have the budget to have treatment. So all I said to her is, next time you run out of your cream, don't buy it. Just wait and then come and we'll figure out something that will work for you in your budget.
It's going to give you that deep level stimulation. Absolutely. And I think that's a really important word. When I was going through the perimenopause, it came out in my skin. I had rashes here. I have dry skin anyway, but this, it went to a different level. I also found that, you know, around my private areas, it got very, very dry. And it was a real shock. Itchy skin, flaky skin, dry skin, uncomfortable skin, which is what a lot of my followers also talk about. Very itchy. And I have to say, it was when I went straight onto HRT, I would say within 3 days that it all went, and my skin has been actually fine because I'm on HRT.
You're very lucky that it went in 3 days. And I am a massive advocate for HRT because not only does it protect your brain and your bones and your cardiovascular system, it also protects your skin. The cells responsible for making collagen are called fibroblasts, and they actually have an estrogen receptor on them. And as our estrogen declines in perimenopause, that's when you see the decrease in estrogen production. So that's when you feel like you've got slightly saggier skin. But the collagen in the dermis is actually responsible for holding the HA molecules in the skin that give you the hydration. So, and it's not just your skin that has collagen. You have collagen in all other parts of your body as well, in your connective tissues. And when you lose that sort of production, or that production of collagen slows down because you have less estrogen, that's a real problem. And so perimenopausally, you will find that, you know, the estrogen level fluctuates and you don't know whether you're coming or going. But then once you're in the menopause, that's that 12 months post your last period, and postmenopausally, when you have very little estrogen, that's when the skin really, really begins to dry out. That's when you see the biggest changes. And actually, that's why you need these collagen stimulating treatments. But it's also, if you can, and if your medical history allows it, that's why it's really important to be on HRT to make sure that we maintain good skin, because we've got good levels of estrogen in the skin.
And as you go through perimenopause, menopause, and come out sort of postmenopause, you don't stay on the same amount because it fluctuates, doesn't it? So you need to go back to your GP and just check to make sure that you're on the right level.
It can do. Some people stay on the same dose for a really long time and it suits them. Mm-hmm. But some people need a little bit more help. And, every person is different. So it needs to be tailored to the individual. And it's really important to be on the right dose. Now, the other thing that happens during the perimenopause and menopause phase is that when your estrogen declines, if your testosterone takes over and the balance is out of whack, then you also need, then you're going to find that you've got acne on your face and the classic areas around the chin. So I see lots of people say, I've never had spots in my life. And now I'm in menopause, or I'm perimenopausal, and I've got, you know, these spots around my skin. I see lots of people whose rosacea flares, who come back with pigmentation because of the inflammation in the skin. So these are all things that HRT should be able to help you with. It may not fix, and you were really lucky that yours was fixed, but, you know, it may not fix it for you and you may need some extra help. And actually, it's interesting that you said the age 47, because I think the average age for menopause is about 51 in the UK.
Yeah, I was quite early then.
South Asian women, it's actually 46.
And that's it, yeah. I mean, so, yeah, you know, you've that's got interesting.
To, yeah, so you've got to really be on it. So I would say to everyone, proactive aging in your 30s. So in your 20s, great skincare, okay? In your 30s, proactive aging treatment. So things like needling radio frequency with the Secret RF, things like polynucleotides, all things that are going to boost your skin and keep it great. then in your 40s, you need to be a little bit, you know, more proactive because you are now in perimenopause phase. And for some of my patients, already menopause. And that's when we come in with the volume replacement treatments, the deeper collagen stimulators. And then postmenopausally, it's like we really have to look after treatments. So again, volume replacement, collagen stimulation, and everything in between.
Okay. And I mean, a couple of things come out of there. I think one of the things that I see is a real marketing of collagen. Do you need to take a collagen supplement in order to replace your collagen for your skin?
Syra, the answer is absolutely not. If you can have a rounded diet with enough protein in it, with your essential amino acids, then you are winning. And that's the best way to get your protein. So if we go right back to the beginning, all proteins are made of these little building blocks called amino acids. And they're long, long chains of amino acids. If you put a few amino acids together, they're called peptides. And a longer chain of peptides is called a polypeptide. Mm. And then the longest chain is what gives us the protein molecule. And every single protein in our body is made up of these amino acids. So when you have protein in your diet or you take a collagen supplement, it goes into your gut. Now, these molecules are absolutely enormous and cannot be absorbed through the gut. So they're broken down into smaller and smaller bits or constituents until they get to peptide stage, which they're then absorbed. And then your body can reuse those amino acids where it needs them to build new proteins. So just by having collagen supplements doesn't mean you're going to be making more collagen unless you're deficient. And actually, you'd probably be better off having a general protein powder if you don't have enough protein in your diet. And what's really essential for collagen production is taking vitamin C as well.
Oh, interesting, because, you know, a lot of these supplements then come into play, don't they? It's not like you just need just the one. So if you were just taking collagen, are you saying that a lot of women, you know, sort of mid-40s, start taking it because they're like, I need good hair, I need good skin, I need good nails. But just because you're taking that collagen doesn't mean it's going to go to those areas. It's going to go where your body wants it to go. Whereas if you take a full profile, you've got more chance of it going to all the areas you want it to.
Actually, so your hair is not collagen, it's keratin.
Yeah.
So it's a different protein entirely. But you're absolutely right. It's more about having enough protein on board to make sure that you've got enough for all the processes. So you've got it for your muscles, for building muscle, you've got it, you know, for your hair, your eyes, your skin, everything else. And actually, the one way to ensure that you stimulate more collagen production is to have collagen stimulating treatments. And if you can't afford those, actually a really simple thing to do is facial massage. So when you're using like a cleansing oil or something like that, if you massage your face, it brings more blood flow to the area. Where you have blood flow, the skin is healthier. Where you have healthier skin, you are naturally going to be making more collagen. So there are simple things you can do actually to help yourself. And again, if you can't afford expensive treatments, and I don't think our treatments are expensive, you can actually do lifestyle issues. So just make sure you use your SPF, you stay out of the sun, you don't smoke, you have a healthy diet, you've got enough protein on board. There is so much that you can do for really, really good skin, Syra.
And protein just seems to be a huge word when you start entering this sort of perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause. It's good for your muscles, it's good for strength, it's good for skin. I mean, it's like, you know, eat it if you can. That's the most amazing way to get your protein. But like you say, there's lots of other things that you can do. Keep out of the sun, because the sun breaks down the collagen. It accelerates aging.
Absolutely, absolutely does. And then we end up trying to reverse the damage, and it's always better to be proactive.
When it comes to skin, I mean, because it's so visible, it's like, you know, it's our self-confidence, it's our self-esteem, it's our projection to the world. It's such an individualistic thing. It's I always try and get this over to women. It's like, what's happening to me is going to be different to what happens to you, because it's not just based on our skincare and the products that we use. It's based on our lifestyle. It's based on our genetics. It's based on stress. It's based on cortisol levels. It's based on lifestyle and nutrition. And all of these things play a role in how your skin is going to turn out. Because one thing I do see is I've seen women who spend quite a lot of money on, you know, in clinic treatments, but they've got a rubbish skincare routine, or, you know, they're not great with their lifestyle. You're only going to get certain effects. And it is about taking responsible action. And I think that's the thing, you know, you don't really have to think about your skin too much as you're kind of like, you know, when you're young, but all of a sudden aging hits you and people think they can reverse it just like that. But it's not just about putting a product on your skin, is literally changing your whole way of thinking about your skin.
It absolutely is. It's about protecting it, investing in it, and looking after it. And the way you look after it is not just by having treatments. It is about having a healthy diet, healthy lifestyle. Stress levels, cortisol will give you massive inflammation. Inflammation is really aging. It's going to age your skin. Poor sleep is another one.
Yes.
Smoking and drinking to excess. That, you know, all of these things. If you smoke, you're going to have less blood supply to your skin. So any of the treatments we give to you will not work as well. So, you know, these are all things you have to consider when you're talking about skin. But the great thing, Saira, is that we do have lots of treatments to help reverse menopausal skin issues.
We talk a lot about inflammation in the skin. What does it look like? Like, how does somebody know my skin is inflamed? Like, is it visible? Is it, I mean, obviously redness, that's obvious. But like, you also talk about inflammaging, which is happening inside the body. Like, how do you pick that up?
Often people will complain that their skin is sensitive.
Right.
So that's often inflamed. And that's because they've got a poor barrier. In the clinic, we have a device where we do the pictures, and I think you've had where
it's,
we can look underneath the skin, and that will show sort of dilated blood vessels and the redness, and that really is reflective of where you've got inflammation. And the problem with inflammation is, because it's a very active ongoing process, it doesn't allow for the repair of the tissues in that area. So if you're really, really inflamed, your skin is going to lose the ability to heal itself and turn over. And you know that skin is not static. It's not just that it's there.
Yeah.
It's replenishing and renewing all the time. And if it's constantly inflamed, your skin does not have the ability to do that properly and in a healthy way. And then it's sort of one of those things where it's a never-ending cycle, because your skin is not healing itself. It's getting more and more inflamed. And there are lots of things other than lifestyle factors. Even in clinic, we have treatments to help people get the inflammation down in their skin. But it is all about not being too aggressive, not stripping the skin, and really repairing the barrier. That's where we would start when we see a really inflamed skin. We've got, you know, azelaic acid peels. We've got a vascular laser that can help with inflammation. But actually, it's all about getting the skin to be healthy again, less inflamed, and then going into treatment.
And I feel like for me, the menopause, the whole journey has been about real self-connection, like being connected to my skin, like, you know, touching and feeling and looking and observing, because it does go through a roller coaster. You know, when I'm stressed, it comes out in my skin. You know, when I've had a good night's sleep, you can see it in my skin. When I don't, you can see it in my skin. So it really is about being quite responsible and connected more than ever before, I would say. And things that worked for you and things that you could use in your 20s and 30s, it does not mean it's going to work for you forever, because you'd probably need more sort of enriching products that replenish.
Absolutely. And if you use enriching products too young, you're going to break out and have acne because you just don't need them. But conversely, you can't be on the same skincare in your 50s as you were in your 20s. That just doesn't make sense. Most of us aren't wearing the same clothes as we were then, and our body has changed and your skin's exactly the same. And we need to respond to the skin in all different decades of our life and where we're at in terms of our skincare. And you mentioned when you had poor sleep, that's because that's the time, whilst you're asleep, that's the time your body repairs and heals, you know, so that's when your skin heals itself. High levels of cortisol will give you inflammation, and we've talked about how inflammation ages the skin. So that, you know, that's why those things have a knock-on impact on your skin. Mm-hmm.
What's the number one myth about skincare and menopause?
Syra, that's easy. That's that a cream is going to fix it all. A cream will not penetrate down to your dermis, where you actually need to stimulate the skin cells, the fibroblasts, to make new collagen. That you will need in-clinic treatments or injectables.
I think what's really important for any woman is to embrace her individuality. Aging is a gift, and it's about staying connected and doing what's right for you. You know, for me, I feel more confident through these menopause years than I've ever done before, because I think turning 50 for me as well is like looking back and appreciating my life. But I don't want to be invisible. I want my inner wisdom to kind of glow. And I think that's really important. The glow doesn't just come from what's on the outside. It comes from that confidence on the inside. Would you agree?
Absolutely, Syra.
A big thank you to Dr. Sabika for joining us today. If you'd like to join the conversation, please send us a comment or question or email us at info@syraskin.co.uk. Please remember to hit the subscribe button for future episodes. And if you'd like to find out more about the topics we discussed today, please visit the links in the description.